You're listening to the Music Show podcast, and just so you know, we have to fade some of the music in these segments because of copyright restrictions. The presets are Julian Hamilton and Kim Moyes, and they've got a new album out, which we're going to be talking about. They met at the Sydney Conservatorium of Music playing contemporary classical music, and one of the presets is Kim Moyes. I'll be chatting to him shortly. In 2008, their album Apocalypso was released, and it debuted at number one in the ARIA charts and brought them to mainstream audiences. And here's a track from it. It's called Yippee-O-A. My pleased to meet ya. Picture from the people. Something I got to teach ya. Ooh, crack. You're quite the creature. Go from the creature feature. Tasting like to eat ya. Thinking so nasty. It's got me feeling so nasty. Well, that's Yippee-O-A from Apocalypso from the presets, but it's not their latest album, not anymore. They've got a new one, and I've got half of the presets here with me in the Music Show studio. Kim Moyes, welcome to the Music Show.
Thanks for having me.
I've enjoyed the new album quite a lot, and we should talk about it, but let's maybe talk about the background to the presets and how you and your partner in crime, Julian Hamilton, who's a little bit poorly today, so not joining us. How did you get together?
Well, we both met at the Sydney Conservatorium of Music studying in 1995. We were in slightly different courses. So I was doing like a Bachelor of Music majoring in percussion, and he was doing a Bachelor of Music education. So we really didn't have that many classes together, but we kind of became friends in the common room, on the balcony, having cigarettes, and quickly developed a friendship over swapping tapes and found out that we had very similar tastes in music. And so, yeah, we just sort of started hanging out, becoming friends that way.
And what were the similar tastes in music back there in 1995?
It was mostly like sort of what was getting played on the radio, like electronic music, a lot of techno. Daft Punk had just come out, and I remember taping a dance music show from a community radio station and playing it to him for the first time at the Common Room. I didn't even really know what they were called then. And he did the same thing with me with the second Björk album. There's that famous song, It's Oh So Quiet, with the massive horn section and stuff. And at the front of the Greenway building at the con, he was playing that to me over his headphones. So we were all constantly doing things like that, yeah.
So this is not the music you're actually studying at the con?
No, no. And funnily enough, we've made a career out of the music that we weren't studying at the con.
Yes. Did the music that you were studying at the con, I mean, as a percussionist, I assume you were playing a lot of new music.
Yeah.
Or newish music. Did it leave any trace on your work, do you think?
Well, at the time, we had a band called Prop, and it was an instrumental band, and it was very much inspired by minimalism and techno. We were trying to play like an acoustic version of dance music, so it was very hypnotic and very repetitive. And I always was completely enamored with some of the older students who were doing recitals and playing Xenarchus. There's that really famous percussion piece called Rebons.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when it came my turn to do my senior recital, I had to play it. Mm. I think everyone...
It's like a drumming piece.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bongos and congas and stuff like that. So, I mean, I was always really interested in that super groovy aspect of modern music. And like you said, there's not a huge repertoire for percussion outside of the 20th century.
No, Baroque percussion doesn't really exist.
No, totally. But I would play like, you know, the Bach cello suites on the marimba. Mm. But yeah, I mean, to say that it made a, you know, impact on our music, I think so. It's hard to sort of say. I think early on in Prop, we were definitely trying things that were a little bit far out for us. Mm. And certainly some of the sounds that we were attracted to in dance music and techno felt quite as foreign as some of the, you know, more interesting side of the 20th century composers and their output.
Xenakis doesn't particularly lead to techno, but the music of Steve Reich or Philip Glass is very close in many ways to a lot of electronica, isn't it?
It is. I would also say that Xenakis has got a very strong tribal element to it.
Yes.
And so it's not as easy to join the dots between techno and Xenakis, but I've always felt a very strong pull to the groove aspect of Xenakis. Not all of it, obviously. And also, he did a lot of electronic music as well. But yeah, certainly Steve Reich.
But not you wouldn't dance to Xenakis.
Well, you could.
But you could, yeah.
Maybe at the very end of the night.
I think so.
But yeah, Philip Glass and Steve Reich for sure.
And it's interesting in a way because it seems to me it's one of the very few examples of quote-unquote classical music influencing quote-unquote pop music. I mean, loads of influences the other way throughout history, but very few, if any, apart from this one, in the other direction.
Well, I always thought it was pop music. Philip Glass especially was influenced by pop music, and then it became a kind of classical music. Is that what you're saying?
No, you're saying the other way around. I'm saying
but
that the example of Reich and Glass and other minimalists in the 60s and 70s is a big influence on electronica.
No, that's true. I remember the first time I ever heard Philip Glass was Flo from Glassworks when I was at the Con High. And, you know, a lot of the music that we were studying was kind of going over my head because I was essentially just a drummer who didn't have much to do with the whole spread of Western classical music. And so when I heard Philip Glass and especially Flo, I was like, oh my God, I get this, you know, it's intense and it's hypnotic and it's repetitive and it does sound like the sort of music that I like listening to on the radio.
There's a track on the new album called Beethoven.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, maybe we should just listen to a bit of Beethoven, a bit of your Beethoven first. This is from the new album, High Viz, from the Presets. This is a track called Beethoven. That's Beethoven from High Viz, the new album from the Presets. And on today's music show here on RN, I'm talking to Kim Moyes, who is half of the Presets. Tell me about that track and how it came about.
Well, when we're making this record, we would spend like a condensed period of time trying to go for a certain kind of vibe or in a certain kind of feeling. And when we were sort of getting the instrumental ready for this track, we were trying to make sort of acid techno, which is a certain type of techno. And we had all these beats and beds lying around and we really particularly liked this one groove. It was just really a kick drum and a bass groove, which is basically the core of that track. And I don't know, I guess it was like one of the first songs that we actually completed with this record. Julian was really interested in trying to steer away from the typical pop song structures like verse, chorus, bridge, and more focus on just one-liners that were enough to carry the whole song. So Beethoven was kind of the first benchmark for the template of the record. And when he first played it to me, I think it was just something he had scrolled down on his phone at some point. You know, I like to listen to Beethoven. And it kind of lost me when he first put it down. But then it only took a couple of minutes for me to go, oh, this is actually really good. It's kind of genius. Well, I think so. We sort of fleshed it out for a bit and then sort of thought this would be cool as a kind of duet, you know, particularly because it is so repetitive. Like, yes, let's break up the line with some different voices doing it. So the first person we asked to come in and duet with Julian was Satu Vanska from the ACO. because we'd done the Timeline piece with her, with them a couple of years ago. Yes. And she'd got
you were the pinnacle.
Yeah.
You were where everything was leading.
The end game.
Yes.
She had gotten up and sung that Kurt Weill song, Show Us the Way to the Next Whiskey Bar. And we loved her accent when we were doing that. You know, she's got that great Finnish accent. Mm. So we thought that it would be perfect for the Beethoven thing. And we got her in and she was great. But then we realized, oh, we probably need a few more accents. So we found a girl in Japan who plays with this really great math rock band called Trico. And they're super talented and play this really complicated music with all these crazy time signatures. It's punk rock, but proggy.
Mm.
And we got her to contribute. And then there were a couple of local people as well. One girl from Melbourne who's got a really pixie voice. And it's just sort of all came together, like these really extreme kind of accents and Julian's real deadpan delivery. And then, that's basically the story behind it, I guess.
And it's funny. I mean, I don't know that techno is particularly noted for its humour.
Well, no, it's the quintessential chin stroke, you know, genre, you know. You find more people standing on the dance floor kind of trying to name check what the DJ is playing than they are actually dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the humor element of Hi-Viz is something that we really tried to embrace. You know, the whole concept of the record was about having fun.
Yeah.
And so we tried to have as much fun as possible.
And Jake Shears from Scissor Sisters contributes to the fun.
Yeah, that's true. He's he threw down a vocal on our track Tools Down, which is a kind of anthem for knocking off.
Yes, you're listening to The Music Show. I'm talking to a preset, that's Kim Moyes. The other preset is Julian Hamilton, and together as the presets, they've got a new album called Hi-Viz. We're going to listen to Downtown Shutdown to finish, and there's a lot of influences here coming together. I mean, can you name a few of them?
Yeah, so we've got this, we've got an African choir, we've also got a Caribbean choir. At the time of making this track, we were listening a lot to Malcolm McLaren's Duck Rock.
Oh, I love that album.
Yeah, yeah. So for people who don't know it, he started off as the manager of the Sex Pistols, and I think he was a frustrated artist. And so this was his first record as an artist, and he traveled the world recording all sorts of music from different cultures. And part of the record, he ends up in Soweto in South Africa recording a kind of Zulu pop music hybrid. And there's one track in particular on Duck Rock called Soweto, and it's got this amazing, you know, African female choir. And when Julian had played me the chorus idea for Downtown Shutdown, first of all, it struck me as it sounded like something that men at work would write. And
yes,
that guy's got a really great Scottish accent.
Yes.
And then I started to hear like, oh, this could be African, this could be Caribbean. Usually when we do a choir, we just get Julian's voice and we layer it and layer it and layer it. But it's never rich enough, or, you know, it's worked in the past. But this time around, we're like, well, why don't we actually go and find a real choir? So we hunted around and found the St. Paul's Lutheran Church Choir in Shepparton, Victoria, which is made up of a bunch of refugees from Burundi, Sudan, and the Democratic Republic of Congo, just a community church choir. And we flew down there for the day and recorded them. The other influences on the thing, I'm not sure. I mean, there was another track by Kid Creole and the Coconuts called There's Something Wrong in Paradise.
Yes, yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. They are kind of the main two touchstones for the vocal aspect of it. And in terms of the track, it really evolved into from so many different outfits. At one stage, it was sounding very much like the Chemical Brothers, and then we started to add the guitars and the bass to it, and it sort of started to get a chic flavor. And, you know, it became a real melting pot of all these different ideas.
And also we're back in a way to where we started today's show with My People, aren't we, in terms of the sense of the song.
Yeah, totally. I mean, there's something about it, which is, I think someone described it really well as a protest party, whereas My People was very much like a kind of born from some sort of frustration. This one is kind of like taking that frustration and sort of using it to bring people together as in a sense of people power and a kind of ode to that.
I hope the album does really well. It's been a great pleasure to meet you. Thank you for being my guest on today's music show, Kim Moyes.
Thanks for having me.
The Presets' new album is called High Viz, and it's out now.
Is this what it feels like?